Thanks once again, Colin, and it's good to be back again to share God's word here in Temple Patrick. And as we make our way through the book of Daniel, this is chapter 6. This morning, Daniel chapter 6, and this is halfway through the book. There are 12 chapters in this book. We'll read the first 10 verses of Daniel chapter 6 and then bring in the other verses in our sermon. It pleased Darius. Just the verse before actually is the last verse of chapter 5. And Darius the Mede took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. And then chapter 6 just follows on. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole region. And over these 3 presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king, and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute, and to make a firm decree that whoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not." Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime, or as was his custom since early days. And this is the well-known chapter of Daniel in the lion's den. And my mind goes back to being brought up in children's meetings and Sunday school, and I still have the mental images of flannel graphs and flashcard and so on, being told the story of Daniel in the lion's den. This man just beside these big cuddly cats, that's just all they were pictured as. Not ferocious lions in any way. And I'm not sure what application was made, you know, from that. But we know this story from our earliest days. We sang choruses in those days too. Daniel was a man of prayer daily. He prayed 3 times, and choruses like that. But the years have passed for Daniel by the time you get to chapter 6. In chapter 1, he's a teenager, just maybe in his mid-teens. In chapter 6, he would be in his 80s. And what change there is in Daniel's life. Not so much the change in his life personally. There's no change there. Because we'll see in a moment or two that he kept to the same routine for years. but it's the change all around him. Because there's a Nebuchadnezzar, and then there's Belshazzar, and now there's Darius, and they each seem to have their own form of government, and Daniel has to adjust to these things. And the first thing that we can see is the position of Daniel. He is made a president or a governor, and he's only one of three in the land. Darius, it was his idea, set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. But they were being administered by three presidents, as the authorized version says, or three governors, and Daniel was one of them, and Daniel was the most prominent of the three. The Babylonian Empire has been overthrown, and the identity of this Darius is unknown. Suggestions range from Cyrus himself or to one of his generals. But there's the king, and there's the three governors, and there's the 120 princes, and they're the provincial rulers, and then there's the common people. And Daniel was a favorite with the king. That's because Daniel could be trusted. And verse 3 it says, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king sought to set him over the whole realm. Because an excellent spirit was in him. That is said of another person in Scripture, and that is Caleb. In Numbers chapter 14 and verse 24. Again, you know that episode of the 12 spies, one representing each tribe, sent in to scout Canaan for about 6 weeks. Just to get the lie of the land, to see what the people were like, to see what the produce was like, and the terrain and so on. And how only two came back with a faithful report, Joshua and Caleb. And it is said of Caleb in chapter 14 and verse 24, but my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him, and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. How God addressed Caleb as my servant. Isn't that a lovely way for God to address you? My servant, Caleb. Have you considered my servant, Job? And at the beginning of the book of Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. But for God to describe us as his servant, it's quite something, isn't it? May we live up to that. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit. Isn't that what the Christian life is all about? We have a different spirit. Small s, just our attitude to things, just our life, just the way we go about things, just how we handle them. People are looking on. We have spectators. They take note. They see what kind of a Christian we are. Are we different from everybody else? Because he has a different spirit in him and has followed me fully. May we all be Calebs. And something similar is said of Daniel, that he had an excellent spirit. Because an excellent spirit was in him. The position of Daniel. But we see the plot against Daniel in verses 4 to 9. And that was a good choice of a psalm to sing before this, Psalm 37. Because the plots and plans made against God's people, it may look as if they succeed, but at the very end they will not. God's people will be vindicated, as Daniel was in this chapter. I think these men may have been jealous of Daniel. They looked at his life. They tried to find something that they could get him on, but they could find nothing. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. And they said among themselves, well, we'll have to come up with something. We'll have to get this man in some way. And of course, when you have someone like this Daniel, it reminds us of what the New Testament says, doesn't it? John 16 and verse 33, Jesus saying to his disciples, in the world you will have tribulation. And here is Daniel getting a taste of that. In the previous chapters, he has interpreted dreams to Nebuchadnezzar, to Belshazzar, but he doesn't seem to have experienced any tribulation as such until now. And he's in his 80s. The very fact that he's in Babylon, he's in a foreign atmosphere. Yes, he's experiencing that, but there's no specific thing mentioned that he has experienced trouble. But it comes eventually. And here it is here in chapter 6. 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 says, yes, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Daniel was a godly man. There's 122 men against him. The other two presidents and the 120 princes. Daniel is faithful in his duties. He's faithful at his everyday work. Whatever his duties are, as a governor, as a president, they can't find any fault with him. And so they have to charge him with praying to his God. Imagine that. Daniel is faithful in his everyday work, as we all ought to be. As Ephesians 6 verses 5 to 8 says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. So whenever we go to our work, We're not working for our employer as such. We're not seeking to please him. We are seeking to please our Saviour first. Then that will please maybe our employer. But we are being faithful in our employment because God has put us there. And we are serving him more than serving anyone else. The verses are put as well. Paul says much the same thing in Colossians, but slightly different. Colossians 3:22-24. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Daniel is an Old Testament example of those verses in Ephesians and Colossians. So this new unchangeable law is made for a month, for 30 days. No one is to seek any god or any other person, not to bring any petition to them, but only bring it to the king. The king obviously is put under pressure. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree, much to his regret, as we read on in the chapter. As one has said, no god or man to be consulted, only the king. And Daniel's sterling character faces them to resort to Darius' appreciation month in order to eliminate him. Oh, they made a big thing. They really puffed up the pride of Darius. The first words to him was, King Darius, live forever. Oh, there was nobody like him. And then they brought this new law to him. And of course it was done. But as verse 14 says, then the king, when he heard these words about Daniel, that Daniel had broken the law, was sore displeased with himself. He wasn't displeased with Daniel. He was sore displeased with himself because he had put Daniel in that position, that he had to be thrown into the lion's den. And the king set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. So the king, as somebody has said, went from a self-styled god to a fool in one day. That's where often some people find themselves who make these plots and plans. The position of Daniel, the plot against Daniel. But we see the practice of Daniel in verse 10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house. And you can just picture this and picture the geography of it and just Daniel's daily routine. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber towards Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. as he did aforetime, or as is custom since early days. Although it's not mentioned from chapter 1 when he was a teenager, this was Daniel's life for years. He's in his 80s now. He's not going to stop now. Daniel has said to himself, for 30 days, I'm not stopping what I do for 30 days. I'm continuing on to pray to the living God of heaven. These other gods that I've seen come and go, because there would have been a change in gods. Nebuchadnezzar would have had his gods. Darius had his gods. Daniel knew that they were useless. I'm not stopping praying to the one true God of heaven for 30 days. I am continuing on with my practice. Daniel could have chosen the easy option and just I'll keep my head down for the next 30 days and say nothing. After the 30 days are up, I can renew my practice 3 times a day. Daniel was having none of it, and he knew what the consequences were. Verse 7, that if anyone shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. So he knew the consequences. He knew that he could die for the faith in Babylon here. A man in his 80s. But as you and I know from our Bibles, that the devil is described as a lion. Here is Daniel maybe having to be thrown into the den of lions. But in that house there's another lion. As 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that lion was seeking to devour Daniel. But Daniel as verse 9 says, resisted him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, by your brethren that are in the world. There was another lion in the room. That Daniel was more concerned about that lion than he was the den of lions. Daniel wasn't concerned about the plots and machinations of man. He was going to stay faithful to his God. And God's gracious hand saved Daniel when all of Babylon, goaded on by Satan, attempted to pry apart those two aged hands tightly clasped in prayer. Can you picture Daniel? It says that he's on his knees, maybe his hands clasped in prayer. 3 times a day, even though he would have led a busy governmental life, yet he found time to open his windows towards Jerusalem and to kneel upon his knees 3 times a day and pray. And that's interesting, his windows open toward Jerusalem. Psalm 122 verse 6 says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Psalm 137, 5 and 6. If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Daniel would have known those psalms. He knew that eventually God will bring his people home. And the fact that it says that he knelt down on his knees, that's an outward sign of an attitude of submission and self-humbling. And three times that day, I wonder, did he get that idea from David in Psalm 55, verses 16 and 17? As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Were those Daniel's three times? Evening and morning and at noon. Then afternoon, it would be the evening again. How Daniel kept in touch with God, didn't he? In prayer and in his busy life. And surely this is what we have to do. We lead busy lives in our day. But to be on our knees, in our homes, that's maybe not always possible. We leave the home maybe 8 o'clock in the morning, we're not back maybe 8 o'clock at night. And that's the way it is with me some days. And yet the New Testament tells us to pray without ceasing. There's sometimes I'm driving along in the van and I would be praying. Of course, you have to watch and pray. But it comes from the heart, and you've just things on your heart, and somebody comes to mind, and you just pray as you drive along, or walk along, or work in the house, whatever the case might be. Some situation comes to mind, and you just pray for that too. Pray without ceasing. But it's lovely it says that it was his custom since early days. And he was obviously seen praying in his home. These men knew what he did. Day in, day out. Verse 11. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They found him in his practice. Maybe Daniel was praying for them. Praying for those that he saw day by day in his day job. Praying for these other presidents and princes. Praying for the king. As the New Testament says again in Peter, we have to pray for those in authority. But they found him and they thought they had him. Verse 12, then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed this decree? And so on. And then answered they, verse 13, and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Now you know what the new law has said, that he is to be cast into the den of lions. But as one has said, he had prayed three times a day for many years. It was his usual practice, and sometimes that can grease the gears for a crisis. Makes you strong. But we see not only the position of Daniel and the plot against Daniel and the practice of Daniel, we see the preservation of Daniel from verses 11 to 23. We'll not read all these verses, but Daniel is put into the lion's den. Verse 16, then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, and this is amazing coming from this Darius, thy God whom thou servest continually, that's Daniel. He served God continually. He was faithful in serving the government. But he was doing that because he served God continually. Thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. That was some insight from this pagan king. You know, these were our lands we're talking about. And yet he said, the God whom you serve continually, he will deliver thee. He has the ability to deliver you, Daniel. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. We see the callousness of the leaders in verse 13. They said about Daniel, this is what should happen to him. The concern of the king, we've seen that. Verses 18 to 23, the king couldn't sleep. And I have no doubts that Daniel had a better sleep than what the king had, and yet it was Daniel who was among the lions. Then the king sent to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. He couldn't stay any longer. The king arose very early in the morning and went in haste onto the den of lions. We don't know how many lions there were. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, because he was expecting to hear nothing. Although he said, the God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Maybe there was a doubt. You know, these are lions. And it's in a lion's nature just to attack. They're very strong, and nobody lasts too long in an encounter with a lion. He cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? I know that he said he would, but has he done it? What a relief it must have been for the king to hear Daniel's voice. O king, live forever. My God. You see, that's the difference. Darius said, your God is your God able to deliver you? And Daniel says, my God has. Daniel was in a close personal relationship with God. My God hath sent his angel. Maybe the Lord Jesus Christ, the angel of the Lord. We don't know. Maybe the same angel, the angel of the Lord. Maybe the same one that appeared in the fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's friends in chapter 3, now appears in chapter 6. Or maybe just an ordinary angel, we don't know. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths, that they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Daniel was preserved. Daniel gives an account of what happened that night. God has shut the lion's mouths. That's unusual. That doesn't happen. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him, because he believed in his God. In chapter 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were delivered from the flames. Here, Daniel is delivered from the fangs. He's delivered from the fangs of the lion. He had this consistent testimony. Your God, whom we serve continually. And Daniel says, my God sent his angel. And one has said this, that Daniel had known the company of the Lord Jesus Christ. The angel of the Lord who led Jacob through his long life, the angel who accompanied Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, the same angel has blessed Daniel and his company during the night hours. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? Daniel experienced the ministry of angels, or an angel, in this difficult moment of his life, this difficult day in his life, this difficult night. There wasn't a sound from these lions. Then the chapter closes off with the punishment of God. Because as the Psalms and Proverbs says, that those who set traps will fall into them themselves. And that's what happened. The king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel. What, 120 of them? 122 of them? And they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, and their wives. You could be talking here about a couple of hundred individuals. And the lions had the mastery over them and broke all their bones in pieces ever they came to the bottom of the den. They would have been tossed about like rag dolls. Whatever God did, he closed the lions' mouths. They didn't touch Daniel with those claws either. The Lord obviously lifted that. He had protected Daniel, but he wasn't going to protect those who had accused Daniel. And they died an awful death. As one has said, it is an awful verse. It is an horrific scene. Their children and their wives and the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. What an awful picture to try to have in your mind. But how influenced was Darius by what he witnessed? Look what he comes out with, 25 to 27. To all peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men must tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, and steadfast forever. His kingdom is the one which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall endure to the end. He delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So no doubt this man was impacted with what happened to Daniel, with what Daniel experienced. We want people to be impacted when they observe us. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius. and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Daniel in the lion's den. What an episode in the Bible. We may never come across literal lions, but we have a lion that we contend with nonetheless. The devil himself, who's always seeking opportunity to bring us down, to use other people to bring us down. But let's seek to be strong and to be like Daniel. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Psalm 18, verses 43 to 50, to the tune Main. Psalm 18, 43 to 50, to the tune Main. Thou madest me free from people's strife and heathens' head to be, a people whom I have not known shall service do to me. Verse 48, he saves me from my enemies. Yea, thou hast lifted me above my foes, and from the man of violence set me free. Well, Daniel experienced that, didn't he? Psalm 18, 43 to 50, to the tune Main.